This morning, we're going to continue our series from our theme this year, Faith for the Journey. Faith for the Journey. And the title of this morning's message is Faith That Was Acceptable. Or I guess you could call it Faith That Was Accepted, Faith That God Accepted. And it's from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. So as you make your way over there this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to see today that as this chapter begins to unfold, we're going to find the examples given of those who place their faith in God. We began this series with a declaration from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, which was, "The just shall live by faith." And then we followed it up with a definition from Hebrews 11, 1. And last week we looked at the immediate results of faith, that those that believe in God will not only provide a good report or produce a good report, but they will also put their faith completely in God. And now this morning, we're going to find that faith brings men and women into a relationship with God. You see, from this point on, it becomes personal faith, not just a general faith, but faith that worked in the lives of people. I hope and pray that this morning and also over the next few weeks that these messages are able to, I guess you'd say, not only provide instruction and information from the Bible, but provide some practical teachings for you. Some encouragement, some teachings that you can take and you can apply to your life immediately. You know, the first three men we find Abel, Enoch, and we find Noah. These men lived before the flood. These men also lived immediately following sin's arrival in this world. And the world became a place of wickedness. But each one of these men, as we'll see today and over the next few weeks, these men had faith. They had faith in God despite the times that they lived in. So we began in verse 1 of Hebrews 11. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear." Verse 4, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh." Dear Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you for allowing us to be here. As we look at this verse today, I pray that you'll open it up to us. Help us to not only find the teaching and the instruction, but also I pray you'll challenge our hearts from this verse. I pray that we will see the faith that is required for us to not only approach you, but to be accepted by you. I pray that you'll bless us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning, as we get into this series, this is the beginning of the examples that are given to us of people who live by faith. You know, I think it's interesting, and I want to mention, we're not going to mention everybody that's left out of this, but I do believe it's interesting that Adam and Eve are not mentioned. I mean, he begins right here with Abel, their son, and he skips right over Adam and Eve. There's three thoughts that I'll give to you. The first one is they never repented and trusted God. Now, that's unlikely, but I'll tell you what, it is possible. See, the Bible does not confirm this. We can't just assume it. It is possible that they never repented and placed their faith in God. I don't believe that, but it's sad to say that that possibility is there. Here's the second thought, that they did repent and they placed their faith in God, but their sin was so great that it marred their testimony to the point that they were not included and we are left to wonder. You do realize that even as a believer, sin can mar our testimony. You know, we can be saved, we can have eternal security, we can know we belong to God, but we can make a foolish decision, or we can react in the flesh, and our testimony can be marred, and if we're not careful, we can ruin it for a lifetime. It's difficult to get it back once you lose it, so it's best to guard your testimony and live for God. So that is another thought, that's why they're not mentioned. Here's a third thought I'll give to you. They repented, and they trusted in Christ or God, they lived by faith, but they were not qualified for this chapter, and here's why. Because before they sinned, they saw God with their eyes. They were perfect. So they were not qualified for this chapter because, in a sense, they lived by faith afterwards, but they lived by faith in what they had already seen and what they knew. The rest, from this point on, lived by faith in what they had never seen. And so perhaps that's another reason why they were not included in this chapter. Either way, it begins with Abel and Cain, and that's their children. And that's what we're going to start with this morning. You know, when it comes to Adam and Eve, they made their mistakes. They raised their children. We hope and believe Adam and Eve repented and placed their faith in God. But we find out in this passage that Abel, by faith, approached God and he was accepted. And that's what we're going to look at for the next few minutes this morning. Abel approached God by faith, and because of this, he was accepted. We're going to have three thoughts. We're going to see Abel's respect, which is his respect for God and God's ways. And then we're going to talk about Abel's righteousness, and then we'll finish it off with Abel's recognition, being recognized and being remembered. You know, verse 4 says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Abel had respect for God and God's ways, God's direction. Turn back with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 4. I'm not going to do an expository message on Genesis 4, but we have to read this passage to at least get a good understanding of what took place on that day. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 begins, "And Adam knew Eve his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me, he says, from the ground. We're going to stop there this morning. And that gives us, really, the account of Cain and Abel. And that's where we're going to begin. There are some things I want to mention first. There are some things we can conclude right up front. There was a place of worship. The Bible tells us that they went to this place at a certain time. So there was a place of worship. Now the Bible doesn't tell us this place, but I'll give you my thought. Maybe this place of worship was where the gates of Eden were. Remember in Genesis 3 verse 24, the Bible tells us that the Lord, when he sent Adam and Eve out, that he set the cherubims up at the gate, and people were no longer allowed to go into the garden. And perhaps that is where they went to sacrifice. And the reason why I say that is because cherubims in the Bible, they are, I don't know if you can categorize them as angels. That's about the closest we can categorize them. They are a special group to themselves. But every time they're mentioned in the Bible, they are associated with God's presence. We find them here. We find them in the tabernacle. We find them in the temple. And later we find them in the throne room of God. Every time they're mentioned with God's presence or in His presence. And so perhaps this is where the place of worship took place. The other thought I'll give to you is there was a proper mode of worship. And we'll find that as we go through this message this morning. I believe Cain and Abel knew the correct way to approach God. And we'll see this morning that one, by faith, went the way that God had assigned. And the other, through pride and stubbornness and selfishness and whatever else you want to put on there, chose to do his own thing. And he chose to approach God in his own way. And that's what we see in this passage. Cain and Abel, brothers. Some believe they were twins, and that is possible. Either way, we do know their brothers. Cain was the eldest, and then Abel was the youngest of these two. This is the first record after the fall. This is the first record of anybody approaching God and seeking God. You know, I'll say this. It is because of God's mercy that he allows men to continue to seek after him. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, God could have he could have ended the entire human race right there and then. Instead, he sent them out, and instead of ending things, you know what he did? He said, I'm going to provide a way where men and women can get right with me and the relationship can be restored. You see, it's by God's grace and his mercy that we can communicate with God. and we can have a relationship with Him. You see, there's no indication in these passages we've read and throughout the Bible. Do you know there's no indication that one was better than the other? We know their occupations, but there's no indication that one was better than the other in their abilities, with their intellect, or success. There's no indication that one was better than the other. Both of these men were sinners in need of God's forgiveness and in need of God's acceptance. You know, when it comes to salvation, there is not one individual better than another. This morning, we are all sinners in need of God's forgiveness. It doesn't matter where you were born, doesn't matter how you were raised or where you were raised, doesn't matter where you work today or where you go to school, and so forth. Before God, if we have not trusted in Christ as our Savior, then we are sinners in need of God's forgiveness. You see, salvation puts us all on the same playing field. It levels the ground, so to speak. We all need to come to God through Jesus Christ. So now let's get to these two people, Cain and Abel. I imagine some of our children here know the story of Cain and Abel, of what took place that day. But we're going to go through it just real quick. Cain and Abel. We find Cain. We've already read the passage, but notice what took place. He brought his offering unto the Lord. He's mentioned first, so it's believed that he probably went first, probably because he was the eldest. And he brought his offering unto the Lord, and it was an offering of fruit, of vegetables. It was an offering from the ground. You see, Cain believed in God, and that's what I want you to notice first. Cain believed in God, and he even worshipped God. We're not talking about a man who was just an absolute, I guess you'd say, opposite of God. He believed in God, he knew God, and he even worshipped God. Now, considering his offering was basically an offering of thanksgiving. It was an offering that acknowledged God, acknowledged God's presence, and acknowledged God's blessings, but that's about it. It just acknowledged God. Hey, God, you're there. Now, there was no confession of sin in his offering, or no hope of mercy. He wasn't seeking God's mercy or God's forgiveness. He was just saying, thank you, God. Now, there's nothing wrong with thanking God. As a matter of fact, in Leviticus 19, we find that there is a thanksgiving offering. And I tell you what, it's exactly what Cain did. He brought a thanksgiving offering unto God. This morning, as believers, we should give thanks unto God. We should thank God in our prayers and be thankful for what God has given to us. So there's nothing wrong with giving thanks. There's also nothing wrong with acknowledging God. I'm going to remind you of a verse in the book of James, chapter 2. James said this. He says, thou believest that there is one God. He says, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You know what James was saying? James said, if you believe there's one God, you're on the right track. But you haven't reached the final point yet, because guess what? The devils also believe and tremble. Just believing in God does not make your relationship with Him correct. You see, people believe in God, but it doesn't mean they have settled their sin or their situation with God. So there's nothing wrong, really, I think, with his offering. It was an offering of thanksgiving. However, you know what we find in the book of Leviticus? The offering of thanksgiving always followed the blood sacrifice. You see, a blood sacrifice would be given, and the offering would be presented unto God, and God would accept that offering, accept the people, and then you know what would happen next? An offering of thanksgiving would be given unto God. What we have here is Cain reversed the order, if he even planned on bringing a blood offering at all. He just chose to bring the thanksgiving offering first and said, here you go, God. Thank you. Thank you for what you've given to me, and then that's about it. You know, this morning we need to remember that for someone to be accepted and allowed in God's presence, they have to present an offering that God will accept, and that has to be presented before they can give thanksgiving. You see, Abel, on the other hand, brought his offering unto the Lord, and the Bible says it was the firstling of his flock. In other words, Abel, you know, Cain went out to the field and he gathered all that he had, and there's nothing wrong with getting all that you have, but he brought this in to appease and to please God, and then Cain did that. Then Abel went out to the field, and the Bible tells us he went and he picked the firstling of his flock. And then the Bible says that it refers to fat, which verifies that the lamb was slain, and that Abel presented a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, before the Lord. And his sacrifice represented atonement. In other words, seeking God's forgiveness for his sin. Now, Abel brought his offering unto the Lord, and some may say, well, how did Abel know how to bring this offering? And how did Cain know that his was wrong? Could God be unfair, perhaps? That's what some may think. And for a while there, I wondered myself, but I'm going to give you some thoughts. First, after Adam and Eve sinned, remember what the Bible tells us? What'd they do? They sinned, and what they tried to hide from God. And the Bible tells us that they knew that what their sin had caused, and so they covered themselves with figs and with these leaves to cover themselves before God. See, they never thought that before because they were pure and they were perfect. And so the Bible tells us that. And God came down, and what did God do? Now, He didn't say this exactly. This is just a paraphrase. But basically, He looked upon their clothing and said, that's not going to do. And the Bible tells us that He covered them with skins from animals. Now, to cover someone with skins from animals, there has to be an animal slain. Now, this is the first reference in the Bible to an animal being slain. You see, in the Garden of Eden, there was no slaying and killing animals. It was a time of peace. And animals and men resided together. There were no problems. But now, because of sin, an animal had to be slain so God could cover them. And the animals were slain not for food, because we need to be reminded that it wasn't until after the flood that God permitted men to eat animals. Up until then, it's believed they were still probably vegetarians. They just up until then, they weren't permitted. But a whole lot of teaching comes from that. So the animals were slain for clothing, for a covering. You know that word atonement that we use in church a lot of times, where we talk about the atonement of Jesus? You know what that means? That's a Hebrew word, atone, means a covering. So God provided a covering for them. And I imagine that the Lord probably taught them spiritual teachings at this time. Remember in Genesis 3:15, He told them that a Messiah was coming. He told Eve and He told Adam that there would be one from Eve who would be raised up, who would basically bruise the serpent, who would defeat the devil. And that's the Messiah that they were looking for. So I believe the Lord provided teaching. Now I'm going to give you one verse from the New Testament that verifies that Adam or Abel and Cain had to have had some type of teaching. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, when it talks about faith, here's what it says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith, proper faith, must have a foundation. And spiritual faith must have a foundation in the word of God. Now, whether it was Adam and Eve who taught their children to bring a sacrifice to God, or whether God taught them directly, either way, they were informed, I believe, of the proper way to approach God. By faith, they had to have heard. And I believe they probably were taught by their parents, is what I tend to believe. Here's a thought that came to me this week. I don't get very many of these, but when they come, they're pretty good, usually, or I think they are. Here's a thought that came to me this week that just humbled me as a parent. It just almost, to tell you the truth, it just shocked me a little bit. We have Adam and Eve. We have Cain and Abel. You have two children raised in the same home. Do you realize one of them followed the teaching, the other followed the example? Think about that for a minute. Adam and Eve sinned. That's the example that Cain followed. Adam and Eve probably taught their children the right way, and that's the example Abel followed. I tell you what, parents, it's important for us not only to teach our children, but to live the life of faith. Because they may follow the example instead of the teaching. You see what I'm saying? If we choose to say, well, go to church, be faithful, but then in our own personal life, we live in the world, we do the things of the world. You know, your children may choose to follow the example instead of the teaching. And that's what it appears that Cain probably did. He followed the example of mom and dad instead of the teaching of mom and dad. So it's important to do both. As a parent, we need to teach our children the ways of God, but then we need to show them how to walk in those ways. Read your Bible, pray, be faithful to church, live a life that's pleasing unto God, and leave a testimony for your children to follow after. Anyway, we find these two men. We find Abel brought his offering, as we've just mentioned there, and that God had respect under the offering that Abel brought. And I believe it was because Abel brought an offering after the ways of God. You see, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. That word for excellent refers to something being complete and full. In other words, Abel brought a correct and complete sacrifice. He didn't miss on this one. He got it right. He got it correct. And he brought the correct sacrifice, and it was by faith. And his faith was not in the sacrifice, but his faith was placed in God, is what I believe. You know what that sacrifice symbolized? The same thing that all those sacrifices in the Old Testament that the children of Israel were directed to perform symbolized. And that was the Messiah that was to come to lay down His life for sin. See, that's what this sacrifice pictured. And I believe that's what Abel had faith in. Now this morning, before we move on to our next point, I want to remind you that nobody can approach God without a blood sacrifice. That's still true today. That hasn't changed. In the Old Testament, the priest had to offer up the sacrifice. They had to present this sacrifice yearly for the people to be accepted, for the people to go before God and before His presence. And the priest would go in once a year by himself, present this sacrifice and offer it up to God. And when God would accept it, the people would be forgiven. Now, it wasn't because of the sacrifice, it was because of their faith in God. Now, this morning, a sacrifice still needs to be accepted or taken to God and accepted if we're going to be accepted by God ourselves. And that's where Jesus Christ comes into play, or that's where He came down to earth. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that He provided that perfect atonement, that He met all of the criteria to be the Messiah. And He laid down His life so that we could be saved. You know, this morning there's no need for another sacrifice. That's why I'm a pastor, I'm not a priest. Because of the book of Hebrews. I don't need to sacrifice anymore. I don't need to offer up a sacrifice to God. I need to trust in the sacrifice that's been made. Place my faith in Jesus Christ. And each one of you as well. If you're saved here this morning, that's what you've done. You placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And the sacrifice has been made. It's been accepted. And so we are saved by grace and through faith in that finished work of Jesus Christ. And so Abel was on the other side. He had faith in the Messiah that was to come. Now let's look at his righteousness real quick. Hebrews 11 verse 4 says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Then notice what it says next. "By which he obtained witness that he was righteous." So he brings this sacrifice to God. And it's an excellent sacrifice. And the Bible says there, this sacrifice is why, or the way that he had obtained witness that he was righteous. In other words, that God approved. And God's approval provided the witness that Abel was righteous, that he was correct. That before God, he was right. Now, 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read a passage. You can turn there this morning if you'd like with me. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. Or if you're taking notes, you can just write this down. But 1 John chapter 3 gives us a little bit of information concerning these two men and their sacrifice. 1 John chapter 3 verse 12. It says here, we'll go back to verse 11. It says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And then notice what it says in verse 12. "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous." This morning, I want you to notice something about these two men. One had evidently a wicked and evil heart, and the other one was righteous. You see, John provides the source behind the offering and behind the actions. You see, it had nothing to do with their family. Today, everyone wants to blame their family for their problems. It had nothing to do with their family. They had the same parents. And by the way, they couldn't go back any further. You know, if our parents are fine, then we try to go back, well, maybe it was my aunt, maybe it was my great uncle on this side, that's why I have this problem today. They couldn't go back any further. They had the same parents, Adam and Eve. So it had nothing to do with their family. I don't believe it had anything to do with their surroundings. They were raised in the same home, the same time period, the same generation, the same neighborhood, etc. So it had nothing to do with their ancestors. I guess you could say their genetic makeup. It had nothing to do with their environment. They were raised in the same location. It had everything to do with their hearts. That's the problem. You know, that's the problem today. That's why there are sinners in this world. And that's why people continue to sin, because they have a sinful heart. Hasn't been taken care of. You see, it had everything to do with their hearts before God. Abel desired to please God because he was righteous, whereas Cain proudly persisted in his own ways because he was wicked. You see, the Bible tells us here in 1 John 3, verse 12, that Cain belonged to the devil. And Abel was of God. You see, Cain lived in the flesh. And you know what he did? He gave a selfish offering out of pride. I think Cain believed that what he had to offer God was good enough. I believe when it was time for the offering, he thought, well, I'll just go get my fruit, and that'll be good enough for God. It'll be acceptable. Let me hurry up and get this done. You know what Cain represents? He represents, I guess, what I would call the hypocritical religious people today. Religion. You see, the Bible is not about religion. It's about a relationship with God. This morning, it matters not that you go to church. I think you should be in church, of course. It's where you learn and you grow in the Lord and you're taught the ways of God and challenged to live for the Lord. But it comes down to your personal relationship with God is what determines your salvation. There is no church in this world that can save your soul. There is no pastor. There is no man that can save your soul. Only God can save your soul. And that comes between a personal relationship between you and God and you seeking His forgiveness and trusting in His Son as your Savior. You see, Cain believed his way was better, and he represents, I believe, the religious people of this world. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. I just want to read a passage which I think describes the religious people in this world, and not just in our generation, but all the generations since Abel. It says there, Romans chapter 10 and verse 3 says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." What we find in this passage, and it really is a sad testimony to religion, is that there are people, churches today, going about trying to establish their own righteousness. How, you may ask, I believe probably through good works, through baptism, through church membership, whatever it may be. They are trusting in what they can do instead of trusting in Jesus Christ. And we see it plain as day in Romans 10 verses 3 and 4. That's the problem. They're going about trying to establish their own righteousness. It almost reminds me of someone who, you know, you see children building sandcastles, or maybe some of you have been to the beach and you build a sandcastle and you hurry up and you want to build it and get it built up. And no matter what you do, you know eventually someday it's just going to crumble anyway. You build another one and you keep going. That's what they're doing. They're going about trying to establish their righteousness, and it's never going to cut it. But they are busy trying to present good works before God. And that's what Cain represents here this morning. Those that seek to please God with their works. You know what they do? They compliment God with their lips, but they don't live for God from Monday through Saturday. It's just with words. It's not with actions. They worship God in their own way. In other words, what suits them best. They approach God in any way they think is best. You know, false teachers today, and this is a teaching of the devil, I believe, but there are teachers today, and they're false teachers, and some of them are in what used to be conservative churches or good churches. They'll tell you today, well, you approach God any way you like. You set the terms. You're in control. It's your life. It's your destiny. You come to God any way you like and He'll accept you. This morning, I'm going to tell you, that's a devil's lie. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible says there is a correct way to approach God, and any other way will not be accepted. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, some will look at me and say, Pastor, you're just being narrow-minded. I'm not being narrow-minded just to be narrow-minded. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. And that's where we need to go, is to God's Word. You see, Eve fell to that temptation. Cain fell to that temptation. You see, God had a way to approach him. And you know what Cain said, in a sense? He said, no thanks, God. I have my own way. I'll come to you the way I please and the way I like. Proverbs 16 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's what happened to Cain. He thought he had the correct way. He thought he had things figured out. He could do it his own way. But it was wrong. And you know what's interesting? Cain was rejected. But you know, you read that passage again. You know what happened? God returned to Cain. And here's what I think is sad. I believe God gave Cain an opportunity to get things right. You see, God is merciful. God is gracious. And He gave Cain a chance to do things right. And I believe in my heart from reading that passage that if Cain would have went back to God and provided a proper sacrifice by faith, not just through works, but by faith, that he would have been accepted. Instead, you know what the Bible tells us? That Cain persisted in his ways. Instead, he became angry, he became mad, he became jealous at Abel, and the Bible tells us that he went and took his life. And then afterwards, you know what we find him? The Bible says he went to the land of Nod. That word refers to wandering. He became a wanderer. This morning, there are a lot of people following that same pattern. And today, they're just wandering spiritually. They have not found the truth, and they're out there looking for anything at all. This morning, there's no need for us to wander, because Jesus Christ has provided the way. All we need to do is trust in Him. You know, Abel was opposite. He obtained a witness that he was righteous. God accepted the sacrifice and accepted him. And I believe that Abel lived by faith because he belonged to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll read this to you this morning. It says, "For he hath made him," speaking of Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see, this morning, we are righteous. If you're saved here this morning, you're righteous not because of your works, but because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that God has made us righteous. He's the one who's performed the work of righteousness in our life because of our faith and by grace and through faith. You see, this morning, there are no works that we can perform to please God. Instead, we need to come to Him by faith like Abel did, and God will accept us. You know, here's the differences come down to it. Here's the differences between these two men. Cain approached with self-will. Abel approached by faith. Cain's works were evil. They were coming from, I guess you say, an evil heart, evil desires, wicked intentions, and they were selfish. But Abel trusted in God. He was looking to God. And I think the two offerings displayed their faith. Cain just brought an offering from the ground, something he picked up real quick, and he had faith in what he could do and believing it to be good enough, whereas Abel followed the pattern set by God and was accepted. This morning, I want to remind you that God knew the difference. From everyone outside looking in, it may have appeared, well, both those seem to be good offerings. They both seem to be good men. God knew their hearts. And this morning, God knows our hearts, and He knows the condition of our hearts. I hope and pray you're saved here this morning. I'll get to my final thought from our passage. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." Now notice this last point. It says, "God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh." I want to talk real quick about Abel's recognition. Not his recognition of God, but his himself being recognized by God and being remembered. You know, his blood, we go back to Genesis 4, we've read that. The Bible says his blood spoke to God. In other words, his blood cried out to God. Now, I don't believe it literally spoke to God, but God knew what had happened. God knew what had occurred. God did not miss what happened. And basically, his blood cried out for justice because his life had been taken. And so his blood cried out for justice, and God heard. You know, this morning, the Lord pays attention to all that occurs on this earth. He doesn't miss a thing. He pays attention to all of it. You know, there are times I think we may think we've been treated unjustly, or we think something is unfair. Keep in mind, God's paying attention. And let's remember, we're not to seek vengeance. We're not to pay somebody back. We're to leave it in God's hands and have faith that He'll take care of things. And He did with Abel. He heard, he knew what took place, and the Bible says that Cain's blood or Abel's blood spoke against Cain because he was the guilty one. What happened is Cain was condemned. I think back to that verse in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, where it says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." When we sin, it's going to come out eventually, whether it comes out here on earth or when we stand before God. Abel was murdered. And God dealt with Cain. The Bible tells us that. God came and dealt with him personally. And finally, the Bible tells us, as we see in verse 4, "And by it he being dead yet speaketh." I'll give you one final thought. I believe Abel's testimony continues to speak today. We're talking, what, 6,000 years since this occurred? But this morning, we are still talking about Abel. Other pastors will bring messages on Abel. You'll find good books written concerning Abel and what took place that day. Do you realize his testimony remains? And I believe it'll remain until Christ returns. And it's, first off, it's a testimony of his faith. You see, his faith resulted in a good report, one that was written down and preserved. Abel was the first man that died on earth. I tell you, there are a lot of firsts that people want to be. I don't think anyone would be rushing to be that first. He was the first individual to die on earth. And it came at the hands of his brothers, and it was a tragic death, a quick ending to a life. I guess you could say his life was cut short. You see, he still speaks today, though. He speaks of faith and of faith in God alone. And his testimony, even though his life was cut short, his testimony has outlasted his life. And this morning, that can happen to you as well. Do you realize that each one of us, if the Lord does not return, now I'm looking for the Lord to return. I pray He returns. I'd love to see the return of the Lord. But if He should not return, do you realize that you can still leave a testimony that will last? Perhaps with your children, your grandchildren, and so forth. You know, I think that as we get older, that's what we begin to realize. You know, we're not going to be able to accomplish everything on earth. But you know what we can do? We can leave a testimony for those that follow. Even if it's nothing else. Even if it's nothing else. And maybe this is just my personal thought. But if it's nothing else, if my grandkids, if the Lord allows me to have grandkids, if my grandkids years down the road will say, you know, I know nothing about my grandpa, but he lived by faith and he loved God. That alone is a testimony. And you think about Abel, he left a testimony. I challenge each of you this morning. If you belong to God, leave a testimony. Live by faith. Trust in God. Leave a testimony for others to know and to speak of after you're gone. Also, his testimony speaks against all those forever. Forever, his testimony speaks against those that choose to approach God in their own way. You know, in closing this morning, this is the first reference given to us concerning the Old Testament saints. We get right into this chapter. Some call it the heroes of the faith. This is the first testimony we find of Old Testament saints. And it takes us all the way back to the book of Genesis, immediately soon after the creation. Do you realize this took place before God called Abraham out? This took place before Israel was a nation. This took place long before God gave Israel the law. This took place before the church and all of its ordinances were even in existence. Do you realize this happened before any of the other things came to be? And I believe that God allowed this to be preserved so we today can look back and say, yes, it is by grace and through faith that we come to God. It is not by works. It is not in our own way. It is the way that God has prescribed or the way that God has set forth, and it's up to us to follow the way that God has presented. You see, from the very beginning, a sacrifice was required to approach God. From the very beginning, a sacrifice was needed. So that way someone could be accepted and forgiven. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And he's referring to sin, no forgiveness of sin. And then in Matthew 26, here's what Jesus had to say, speaking or referring to himself. He said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. You see, the lamb Abel sacrificed was unable to save his soul. But Abel, by faith, believed in God, and he believed that God would provide a sacrifice that could save his soul. You see, he lived by faith, believing that God would send the Messiah, and that Messiah would make all things right. This morning, we're on the other side. We live by faith, looking back, believing that the Messiah has been sent and that Jesus Christ died on the cross. You know, this morning, I'll leave you with this final thought. Do you realize it began with one lamb for one man? That's where it began. Abel would have to take a lamb to God for the sacrifice. And then, as we go through the Old Testament, you know what happens? It became one lamb for a family. That's what we find. One lamb would represent the family. Eventually, it became one lamb for a nation, the nation of Israel. One lamb would be presented before God for the entire nation. And then in the New Testament, you know what we find? One lamb, the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, for the entire world. You see, God had a plan. And that plan was to provide salvation to sinners so we could go approach Him and be accepted. You know, this morning, I hope and pray that you have trusted in Christ as your Savior. You see, today that's the only way we can be accepted with God is through Jesus Christ, because His sacrifice has been accepted by God. We're going to have a word of prayer, a time of prayer, and if God has worked on your heart in any way this morning, I encourage you to seek Him out. If you could please bow your heads and close your eyes for a few minutes. Here in a minute, the piano is going to begin to play. And I want to give you a few thoughts to challenge you this morning during our invitation. I want to begin with salvation. That's what this passage is about. Approaching God and being accepted. This morning, salvation is still the same. It's by grace and through faith. It's not through your works. It's not through what you have done or what you will do. It's through your simple faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. I challenge each of you this morning to examine your hearts and make sure you're saved. Look in your life even. What I mean by that is, if you're saved here this morning, you'll be able to say that there was a time. Now, you may not remember the exact second or the exact minute or anything like that, but you will know a time when you approached God and you repented of your sins and you trusted in Christ as your Savior. And you didn't do it just with words. You did it from your heart. And if there is a time and you know that you're saved, then rejoice this morning. Praise God. Because the Bible says it's complete, it's finished. If you have placed your faith in Him and you've trusted in His Son as your Savior, then you're saved. But maybe there's one here this morning. Maybe there's one here this morning who, examining their life, you may say, you know, Pastor, I can't find a time. I've been in church, I was raised in church, tried to do right, but there's never been a time in my life where I went to God seeking His forgiveness and trusting in Him alone. If that's the case this morning, I want to encourage you. Today can be the day that you place your faith in Jesus Christ. Today can be the day of your salvation. You see, the Bible tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved today, and your salvation can be settled. If you have any questions, if you have any more questions concerning salvation, please come down and someone can take the Bible and we can show you how you can know that you're saved. Perhaps you already